Good morning. Thank you, Frank, for those songs. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a few visitors with us. We'd like to welcome you and let you know that you are our honored guest and that we're glad to have you worship with us here this morning. I have a couple of prayer requests before we get into our lesson today. Nice to see you, Deborah. Deborah Webster sends a prayer request saying that she's been away for a while and to please pray for her and her family. Her aunt's funeral was yesterday, and her godmother's funeral is this coming Tuesday. So she has lost some very close people to her in her life. And she requests prayers, and let's be there for her at this time. Also, many of you, it's been a few years since they've worshiped here, but many of you may remember the Huskins. Michelle Huskins is in the hospital in ICU in a medically induced coma. They don't know what is exactly wrong with her yet. Dick had said that they had removed fluid from her lungs, and the family requests prayers for her. So let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these people and go to God in prayer. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, sometimes it's very easy to get caught up with the requests. But dear God, we first and foremost thank you for the blessings that you give us. You've given us wonderful lives, not only physically, but the spiritual blessings. We thank you. Dear God, we thank you for the avenue of prayer that we can come to you boldly before your throne and offer up these concerns that we have, knowing that you will hear us. Dear God, we ask that you be with Deborah Webster at this time. We are glad that she has returned. We pray that you comfort her at this time. Help us to be part of that comfort for her. We ask that you be with her family as they've lost loved ones, as she's lost an aunt and a godmother. Dear God, we ask that you strengthen her and encourage her. Dear God, we also come to you on behalf of the Huskin family, specifically Michelle. We ask that the doctors be able to figure out what exactly is wrong with Michelle and to be able to treat her properly. And we ask that you comfort the family at this time. Continue to be with us. We hope that everything we've done so far and continue to do in this worship to you has been pleasing to you, has given you glory and honor that you deserve, and that everything we've done has been done in spirit and in truth. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. And we pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk about the church today. It's interesting that Michael, when he came up discussing his remarks for the Lord's Supper, he said, "Good morning, church." And that is one of the issues that we're going to discuss today. We are the church. It's not these four walls. We sometimes refer to it that way. That's okay, but we are the church. I was at every once a month. Many of the preachers of the congregations around town of the church get together and we'll have breakfast once a month. And one of the things we were talking about yesterday, one of the brothers brought up the concept how he's concerned that many of members of the church, how they view the church, how they view it as they don't have that exclusive view of the church, that they don't see it as God's people, that it's just a denomination. And what he's concerned about is these are some views of some of the people that attend his congregation. Not his congregation, the congregation where he preaches at. And those are some of the things we will look at today. The church is unique. The church is not a denomination. It is Christ's church. He bought and paid for it with his life. His blood was the cost, and it is his. Let's look at some of what the scriptures have to say about it. This is the passage that Kurt read earlier for our scripture reading. It's taken from Matthew 16, and starting in verse 13, it says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered," why does that not surprise me? You know, "Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.'" On this rock, not the rock that they're standing on or near, not the rock Peter. Peter's not the rock. This great confession, this statement of faith, that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. There are forces out in the world that are working overtime to try to prevail against the church. And Jesus said, they will not do it. That's his church. The church was prophesied about in the Old Testament. It was foretold. It was talked about. The who, what, when, where, why was talked about centuries before it came about. It was prophesied that it would start in Jerusalem, that it would be during the time of the Roman Empire, that it would be established with power of the Holy Spirit. And for who? Not just the Jews, but for all. It was prophesied to the Jews that it was going to be for everybody. And let's look at some of those passages. In Isaiah 2, verse 3, it says, "For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's where that word is going to emanate out from. Daniel 2, starting in verse 39. But after you, and this is talking about the Babylonians, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. There were four kingdoms that history acknowledged as the major kingdoms of the ancient world. The Babylonian kingdom, which it was being talked about at that time. And following that, another kingdom, a major kingdom, but not as important as the Babylonians, the Medo-Persian Empire. Following that would be the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great. And then following that one, at its demise, would emerge the Roman Empire. Every one of these, God used elements to establish His people, and to, it's interesting that they didn't follow God, but He used those people to set in place. For example, through the Greeks, God established a common language through the entire region that the church would be established. The Romans, the security, the order that they would establish at that time, the transportation, the road building for their military might, those same roads the Apostle Paul would travel, spreading the gospel. Continuing on in Daniel 2, it says, and in the days of these kings, the fourth kingdom, that of the Roman Empire. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever. Just like Jesus said it would. In Joel 2, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, not just the Jews, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I have some doozies, I tell you. I can't figure them out, but here's an old man that dreams some weird ones. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. I wonder if the scribes and the Pharisees and those that were knowledgeable in the word of the Old Testament, if when the land turned dark when Jesus was on the cross, if they ran across, if these scriptures came to mind, I wonder if they thought of these passages with the miracles that were being done. I just wonder. The moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. It's going to come with the power of the Holy Spirit starting in Jerusalem. And it was fulfilled in the New Testament. Those prophecies of long ago were fulfilled. Not just, you know, I can prophesy about the future all day long. Mm-hmm. I might hit on a couple and be right on a few. These actually were fulfilled during the time of the New Testament. In Mark 15, it says, and saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. It is within reach. It's coming. Repent and believe in the gospel. In Luke 24, starting in verse 47, and that repentance, this is Jesus talking, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, talking to the apostles. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Interesting, that's the same order that Jesus told him to go out and preach the gospel in the Great Commission. In Matthew 18. Acts 2, verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance, just like was prophesied in the Old Testament. And then in verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Then it gets to the point what Michael said, good morning, church. He wasn't talking to the four walls. He was talking to us. The church is described in various ways in the New Testament. The church are the people, the Christians that make up the church. Not only the individuals, but sometimes the church is described as congregations. The assembly, this assembly of individuals is the church. And sometimes we refer to the church as that body of Christians worldwide, the church. In Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We don't join the church. We don't sign up for the church. We sometimes ask for people that have been worshiping with us to identify with us here at South Valley, the portion of the church here, but you don't join the church. You're added to the church by displaying your faith and your obedience when you're baptized. The Lord adds you. Why? Because it's his church. He can add who he chooses, and he's going to add those who believe in him and are obedient to him in baptism. Acts 8:1, and this is referring to the event of Stephen's death. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church. Not just a single congregation, but the church in general, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It's interesting that through that persecution, as the Christians are scattered, as the church is scattered, they're going exactly the way Jesus said to preach the word. And they, when they are scattered out of fear of the persecution, they will take their faith with them and share it with others. A couple of verses later it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. In Acts 11, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples, followers of Christ, were first called Christians in Antioch. Acts 12:5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We go to God in prayers together and for each other regularly. We, the church. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Paul wrote, the churches of Asia, the various congregations, not the different denominations, not the different kinds of churches, the churches of Christ of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. The individuals. In this one verse, we see congregations and individuals. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. It's his. He established his church. He is the head. And we are the body. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. Michael, we couldn't have planned this better. For you to, good morning, church. We are the church. It was prophesied about in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the New Testament. And it's carried on today by us. We are the church. We are added to the church by the Lord when we, as we develop our faith and as we display obedience through baptism, we are then added to his church by him. If you're not in the church, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you're not in the church. You may be inside the four walls of this building, but you're not a member. You have not been added to the church yet by the Lord. I urge you to do so. If you're a member of the church and have fallen away and have come back to the church, to the people, to God, to Jesus, we welcome you. If you need prayers of your fellow church members, we urge you to ask. If there's sin in your life, we have opportunity to repent. Whatever you need, if you would come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation song, we will address those needs of yours and do what we can as the church to assist you. Let's stand and sing.